Well, that was pretty cool. Thank you. You all learned that very well. It is a good morning to be together, and I also want to welcome you. For those of us that haven't met, I'm Eric Sparman, and it is a joy to be back into the fall season as a church family. And I want to just make a special invitation too. Today and about once a month during the Sunday school time that follows this, at about 10:10, I'll be hosting a newcomers gathering. If you're a relative newcomer here to Excelsior, would like to just have a little time to have a conversation, get to know each other a little bit. We'll have some treats. Jessica Brandt will be also co-hosting with me, and just talk a little bit about what it is that we value and love about being God's church together and a people on the way together. So I encourage you to be a part of that. If you want to be a part of the newcomers gathering, it's going to be at the end of this hall, all the way to the left down that hall, last room on the right, and there will be signs. So now, with the new Lighthouse Kids program, we're going to be super intentional about blessing the kids, both with a song like that. We're going to learn that one really well as they head out each week, but also for us to be aware and to keep growing in our commitment to share the story of God's love with everybody who comes through our doors of every age. And if you were here last week, Pastor Chris, when we had our big homecoming assembly across the way, Pastor Chris had each decade of life stand up. And I don't know if you noticed, we did this in turn. I don't know if you noticed if you looked around, but Excelsior Covenant is even, it looks like evenly spread across the generations in a really neat way. I was really touched by that. But there are also, I think there's actually more kids, and you kind of got to watch your step. You know, you want to step on them. For as much as I'm glad to be here in this moment, though, I wanted to go out with those kids and witness Lighthouse Kids Big Group for the first time. And if you see someone sixth grade or under after the service, ask them how it went. And we're just going to, well, can we pray for them right now as they head down to that? Heavenly Father, we thank you for what it means for us to come into a place where we are known, where we belong. We may be new here, but hopefully we sense your welcome through the lives of those around. And we pray especially right now for the children as they go to their big group time and then small group time during Sunday school hour. God, may your Holy Spirit be upon them that they may feel the blessing of our love for them, which is really a way of you loving them. And so as they hear the gospel story today, may their young lives be touched with this amazing story. As Chet encouraged us to appreciate being raised in an environment where Christ is celebrated and we have hope and meaning for life. And so we give you thanks in the name of Jesus. Amen. So this morning we're starting a new sermon series with some help from our bigger Covenant Church family, which is where that colorful brochure, Bless, that's in your bulletin, where that came from. It is a series that's going to take us back to some of the most central and practical aspects of what we do as followers of Jesus. And I thought it was really appropriate that Chet was able to share some of his experience in the Alpha course. Chet, thank you so much for that. You know, because the heart of Alpha is a practical desire for the church to get out of the building to where people live and then to create a natural and non-judgmental setting where people feel free to talk about life's big questions of faith and meaning. And again, there's a flyer in, they've got a lot of flyers today, sorry about that, but you'll see the Alpha flyer there, and you are very welcome to come and bring a friend if you'd like. That would be great. Big surprise here, though. Jesus never intended his church to be stuck in a building. That's interesting, because usually when we say church, people think of a building, right? Sometime along the way when I was helping plant the church in Kansas City some years back, I came to this deeper understanding that bricks and mortar can actually distract Christians from the real purpose and mission of the church and of our lives. When Jesus was among the people that we read about in the New Testament, especially with his disciples, he repeatedly commands them to go. To go and share good news of salvation and help people find their way to Jesus where they can experience that salvation and a true relationship with God. even to become disciples themselves. For a lot of Christian people, though, I'm afraid that this go command has been lost or shoved down the priority list a bit. Maybe because we're afraid that if we came off as somewhat religious or with an agenda, that we would turn people off. Or maybe we've lost the sense that there is an urgency to this gospel and just think people can figure out life and faith and meaning on their own, and so I'm not going to bother them. But right from the start, it's always been the responsibility and the joy of believers to go and tell. Introducing people to Jesus has always been priority one. None of this, I've got my faith, but I don't want to imply it might not be good for you, even though it's good for me. Because if the gospel is true, it's not only good for everyone, but vital. And the irony is, if coming to faith in Christ made a difference in your life, and I know from your stories that it has, if that's true, then isn't that good news? Isn't that really good news? And if it's truly good, then why would we ever want to keep it to ourselves? Good news is meant for sharing. It wants to be shared. And the reason we know all this about Jesus and the reason so many of us came to faith was because someone told us. Isn't that true? Your faith did not come by osmosis. Someone was intentional about sharing that good news. And that's the way it's been from day one. The apostles, if they had kept it to themselves, we wouldn't be here today, would we? We wouldn't. So this series is to help us get intentional about sharing Christ as a natural part of our lives. Not something forced, but something that's natural and beautiful. As a kid growing up in church, I was exposed to some pretty unnatural and pressurized ways of sharing faith, maybe some of you as well, all well-intentioned, but not always sensitive to where other people were coming from. And we're not going to go there. That's not where we're going. This series builds on an acronym on the word BLESS. And seeing blessing other people as an intentional evangelism initiative. Now, that sounds like a lot of big words, but we're going to unpack that over these weeks. The whole intention is that it's meant for ordinary people like you and me to thoughtfully and lovingly open our lives towards those who don't yet have the hope of Jesus in their lives. So we're going to get into this, and we're going to start every week afterwards with this short little video just to help us focus on this thought. You might want to have the brochure out of your bulletin there, but just let's just watch this for a moment. It's just really authentic stuff, if you read that. And I am excited for what we're going to be talking about in these weeks to come. You know, and just seeing that and seeing the different aspects of being intentional about sharing Jesus, it makes me feel like reaching out with the good news is not rocket science, and it's not awkward, but it's something we totally can do. In fact, I think it's something we're going to want to do if we're not already doing it. One thing we're not going to do over these 5 weeks are just preach a bunch of canned sermons. Peter and Lindsay and I are going to share out of our own reading of Scripture and study and personal experience, which is another reason we have church in the first place, to walk through life together and encourage one another to trust the Holy Spirit to guide us along the way. So let's talk first about evangelism. But before we go any further, let's rescue this word from contemporary culture, if we might, if it's possible. Anything connected with the root word evangel was never meant to be connected with a political agenda. Evangelical is not a voting bloc. The New Testament Greek word euangelion, you can see even with the Greek there how it lines up with the other, those words in English. Euangelion literally refers to spreading good news about Jesus. Evangelion is the word we translate into English as gospel, good news. And with this BLESS acronym, we're going to start with the letter B, which reminds us that telling people about Jesus is not something we ever successfully do on our own. So we begin with prayer, trusting that evangelism is God's priority. And when we pray for others in this way, we are networking our hearts and our energies to track with God's. That's what this is about. Earlier in the service, Chris read from the Gospel, the Evangelion of John, chapter 17, which is so amazing. The whole chapter is Jesus just praying for his followers. That's what the whole chapter is. He starts out praying specifically for his disciples, but then he expands it out to include everyone who would ever come to believe in him, ever, which is where you and I get tied into this, and all of our friends and neighbors. This is for all of us. And what he does is draw us into his big story of salvation, so we are sharing then in the same work that Jesus has been doing all along, of taking good news out into the world. News that God wants lost people to find their way home and for all of his people to live in unity. So let's look back, if you've got it in your Bible or app there, at John 17, starting at verse 18. Remember, this is Jesus talking to the Father. So it's kind of, and I don't mean this disrespectfully in any way, it's kind of like God talking to himself. But every time this happens where we see Jesus praying in the Scripture, he says it for the benefit of those who are overhearing him. Because what it does is it also helps us get a deeper sense of the heart of God when Jesus prays. And here he says, "As you sent me into the world, Father, I have sent them," the disciples, his followers, "into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." He prays, "I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message." Jesus prays for those who will believe in him through the message that he has entrusted to us for sharing. That's huge. That's amazing. Jesus is praying. It promises that when we are lovingly reaching out to those who are living without Christ, whether that be a family member or a friend or a coworker, a neighbor or someone at your school, Jesus is already praying for that relationship. And he invites us to do the same thing. If you have that BLESS flyer out, you'll see we're encouraged to start this season by thinking about those in our sphere of relationships. And I really would, if you would hold that flyer, because I want to show you something. To pray for those in the sphere of your relationships in your world that they might find new life in Jesus. And in the weeks to come, we're going to talk about other practical ways to join God in his desire to save people. All of it totally unpressurized and loving. But think about this. Did anyone ever come to faith without someone, somewhere, praying for them? We know Jesus is praying. But do you imagine that someone prayed for you? Someone may be praying for you right now? In the next few minutes, as we will pray and then sing a song of response, I want to encourage you to think about who you might pray for. First, that their hearts might be open to God. And secondly, that our hearts might focus on loving them well. That's where we start, loving them well. So much so that whether or not they ever come to faith, we're still going to love them. I had a friend once who asked me that, if I don't ever come to Christ, will you still be my friend? Whoa, that took me aback. And in my heart I had to say, of course. If you would, you'll notice on the second flap there are two little tear-offs, and it's for two identical lists. One where that you will keep, and the other one that you're invited to put in the offering as it's passed today or next week if you want to think about it. And you can even just write first names if that's a you know a good for you. And as a church family, then, with that other list, we will be praying with you. And ultimately, those will go on to our conference and our national denomination. And there's a whole team of people across the country who will be praying for the people that you are praying for. And you can start writing that at any time now. I encourage you to put your copy of the list someplace where you'll be reminded to pray, in your Bible, on your mirror, in the bathroom, on the dashboard of your car, wherever is going to be most helpful for you, to remember every day just to lift up those names to God. And as you are commending them to God, to be open to how He might use your life and actions to bless them. Certainly by praying, but also with some elements of doing. There's a little doing that's going to happen after this. Unfortunately, there are some here in the room who have been discouraged in the past, wondering if any person they've ever prayed for or anything they've ever done for God made an impact on anybody. Nikki Gumbel tells a story about sharing Christ that really hit me. He said, during World War I, there was a man mortally wounded in the trenches. He was dying. And a friend came to him and asked if there was anything he could do, but the dying man said, no, I'm dying. I know that. There's nothing you can do. So this friend said, is there a message you want me to take home to someone when I get out of here? And the dying man said, yes, I'd like you to take a message to a man at this address and tell him that what he taught me as a child is helping me now to die. And after the war, that friend went and found the man at that address and told him the story and delivered the message. And the man at the door just stood there and finally said, God, forgive me. I taught that young boy Sunday school, but I gave up teaching years ago because I thought what I was doing didn't make an impact on anyone. You see, we pray and we serve and we love. And trust God for the rest. And He takes care of it. But we don't stop praying and we don't stop serving. Looking around here at Excelsior and those that made an impact on our lives, there are so many stories. For many of you, it was Elaine Gabriel, who has been with the Lord now for several years. But if you were ever on Elaine's prayer list, you knew she would seek you out and love you well. Those of you that knew Elaine, say amen. Okay, that's a lot of people. The rest of you, you'll meet her in heaven. And then as Chris told us on Friday, our dear 101-year-old sister Harriet quietly passed away and we lost another sister this side of heaven who also loved us well and never gave up on anybody. It didn't matter how old she was, Harriet was still in the game. Starting every morning with a prayer of trust that God would lead her through her day. And she was an incredible encourager to so many of us. And we're going to miss her. But this is what we're all called to do. This is what we do. So others can experience the incredible good news of God's great and saving love through the cross of Jesus Christ. And so I pray that with my heart you'll commit yours to entering into this together as we seek God's guidance and encouragement for our lives, that we might share Jesus and His hope with the world. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the amazing message of Jesus, crucified, risen from the dead, alive today, and with us right now. And Lord, we pray that you'd help each and every one of us, first of all, to find our own lives in that relationship with you. And then that we might know the joy and privilege of being able to pray for others, to love them well, and see them find life and freedom in Christ. We pray this in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen.